I think a lot of people are frightened, but I think, Doug, wouldn't you say a lot of people are fed up right now? I mean, I think we're heading toward some kind of cultural revolution.
Hey everyone, welcome to US Gray Sports Podcast here. I'm Doug Berry along with my good friend, Father Richard Heilman, and we are thrilled to be able to bring you another episode of the US Gray Sports. And of course, as always, we want to start off the right way, and the right way is giving everything over to God, placing everything under God, and we're going to start with prayer and turn that over to my good friend and very capable hands of Father Heilman.
All right, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome. Very good. Hey, by the way, Father, before we get started here, we got a great show. Get Strong and United Against the Mob. Very important. A lot of stuff's happened lately. I always want to start off by thanking everybody out there who's really helping to make this possible. You patrons out there, in particular with the Patreon program, you are doing amazing work at helping us get this message out. And it's growing. Thanks be to God. The U.S. Grace Force is growing. A lot of views, a lot of comments from people really benefiting, thanks be to God, by this effort, and you are making that happen. So anybody out there interested in becoming a patron, you can click the link below, the Patreon link below, and go out there. And we ask you to prayerfully consider. We want you to prayerfully consider doing this, and it does mean an awful lot to us. You're in our prayers. Also, don't forget, check out the U.S. Grace Force gear, the official gear store. You can get all kinds of things from coffee mugs to cell phone cases to t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, whole nine yards, even little baby onesies. We got baby onesies out there with some of this stuff on it, which is very cool. Check that out. We got great designs out there. I Kneel for God Alone, as you see Father wearing one of those versions. We have a couple different versions of that. And we also have Under God, the Under God design, which we really want to place our country under God, especially now with the election coming up. A lot is happening. And if we do not really place things under God, we could be in a real world of hurt right now. We got a brand new design we're going to talk about tonight, the Get Strong, Time to Get Strong, Get Strong design. You check out some of these images we've got thrown up here right now. So you can see, again, we've got to keep sending this message to the world that it's time to turn everything over to God. But it's time for each and every one of us to throw cowardice out the window. Remember, it says in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, we are not built for timidity or cowardice. We're built for power. We're built by God for love and for self-discipline and for strength. God makes us this way, that we be strong, get strong in the mighty power of God. So please check out these designs. Go out to the U.S. Grace Force gear store. Check the links below. And get yourself some great stuff, some great gear, and you help support what we're doing, which is tremendous, because we're under the gun, Father. We've talked about this a lot. We're under the gun in our country, the church, we're under the gun, and we have got to, as our tag is tonight, get strong and united against the mob. It's getting pretty serious. We see this over the weekend. We've seen some real attacks against churches, even at the time we record this.
Yep.
Monday, the 13th, which is the anniversary, by the way, of the third apparition in Fatima. And over the weekend, Father, I know we talked about this earlier today, the attack on the church in Florida where the man drove into the church and just poured a couple gallons of gas, lit it on fire, drove out. People were in the church. Incredible. We've got the attack against the statue of the Blessed Mother in Boston at St. Peter's Parish, I believe, where you've got, you look at the image here where they lit up the flowers, the plastic flowers that were in her arms and just scalded the image of our Blessed Mother. These things are happening. Now, the San Gabriel Church out in California, at the time, again, we record this, I think we're being told that they're still under investigation as to whether or not it was arson or a problem having to do with the renovation that they're doing on the church. But it just happens to be a church that has a deep connection to St. Junipero Serra, and they've been tearing down statues of St. Junipero Serra out there in California. It's a really, really rough time, Father. I mean, it's incredible. You know,
yeah, and I think we heard that one of the suspects in one of the killings recently was one of the people that were let out of prison because of fear of catching COVID or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's going on too. but it's crazy right now. It's insane. You know, evil feels arrogant, I've been saying, or at least emboldened at this time. And it feels it has permission to just walk through and do whatever it wants. And in the meantime, you know, we've got political parties that are advocating to defund the police.
Yeah.
You know, so let's make ourselves even weaker. So a lot of people are really, I think a lot of people are frightened, but I think, Doug, wouldn't you say a lot of people are fed up right now? I mean, I think we're heading toward some kind of cultural revolution.
Well, in fact, again, this is going to be old news for some people, because by the time this comes out, it's going to be a couple days past. But Monday, July 13th, we've got this news article here that Governor Gavin Newsom on Monday ordered a halt to indoor activities at certain businesses statewide as cases of coronavirus surge in the country's most populous state. Newsom, a Democrat, announced during a press briefing that all bars across the state must close up shop, and the restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, family entertainment centers, zoos, museums, and card rooms must suspend indoor activities. The governor also announced that all gyms, places of worship, malls, personal care services, barbershops, salons, non-critical offices in the counties on the state's monitoring list, quote unquote, had to shut down under the new order. The order affects more than 30 counties, which are home to about 80% of California's population.
Wow.
So you've got this, and you know, we talked about this in the past, Father, is that this so-called second wave, and I say so-called because it's very skeptical. And I know you and I both, we post a lot on Facebook, and you take some flack for it when you put some stuff out there where you're challenging the mask issue, which the mandates are all over the country now to wear masks, or whether it's something like this where they want to start shutting down things again, locking things down again. This is the stuff, it has to be challenged because we have to know that the science is behind it.
Right.
And I know recently you got into a bit of a very friendly commenting debate with a gentleman who was disagreeing with something I had posted on Facebook, and you were right in there mixing it up, and you were posting images of scientific data, you know, graph here, graph there, showing the deaths are declining, cases are going up, testing is going up. And of course you're going to get more positives when you're increasing the testing. But the hospitalizations, they say, are going up. But then you've got some medical professionals saying, yeah, but a lot of the hospitalizations are not having to do with this Wuhan flu. It's got to do with other illnesses that people just haven't been coming to the hospital for. So all of this, we want to see evidence and data on this. And we know everything's been all over the board, but it's still being used to promote things like what Governor Newsom is doing now, locking more things down. Again, we cannot do this and expect the economy to survive or expect people to actually be healthy, body, mind, and soul, when you're constantly driving a wedge and separating people out like this.
Right.
I know you've run through into this up in Dane County where you were at. You guys have had to deal with some of this too.
I just talked with someone who is a medical professional today, and he said that, I said, how many are in the hospital? He said, we're up to 8 now. But, you know, 8, you know, and 8. We haven't had, yeah. And one, I talked to him about 10 days ago and it was 2, but anyway, and he verified that, you know, when you talk about hospitals that are full up, they leave out the fact that the reason they're full up is not necessarily because of COVID. And he even said that on a normal day, if there was never a global pandemic, hospitals have to make money, and they stay at 90 to 95% capacity at all times. Mm. You know, if there was never a pandemic. So the fact that hospitals are full, I think his point was, that's pretty normal that they're full. You know, that's pretty normal. I know early on when they were, you know, worried that there might be a surge, that they emptied out the hospitals and to get ready for the surge that really never happened. But now they're talking about that. And, you know, I want to be sensitive to people who have comorbidities or who are elderly. My secretary is 83 and is in chemo treatment. I love her more than I love myself. And I don't want her to go to church right now. You know, she's and I don't think she should risk that. She actually comes to work every day, but I think mostly because, you know, it's fulfilling for her to do that. But she stays in her office, no one goes in, if somebody gets near, the mask goes on. But so I'm sensitive to all that, right? But you know, it's basically not affecting, by and large, at least relative to other viruses and diseases, flus and things like that. It's not affecting young people. It's mostly been devastating for people, you know, 65, 70 or older, you know. And yeah. so now the debate is on about whether the schools should open, and the children are basically, again, relative to other viruses and other flus, other sicknesses that go around, this has little or no effect to children. And the new science, you know, we're trying to stay on top of it, says that they're not spreading the disease. The little ones are not spreading the disease to others. So anyway, but so we're left, aren't we, Doug, thinking that, you know, there's more going on here than meets the eye.
Yeah.
You know, that there's some kind of other agenda at work here. You know,
if
deaths are plummeting, you know, and hospitalizations don't seem to be surging in what, 95% of the country, you know, what's going on here? And so there's a lot of people, and I'm tend to be one of them that is suspicious about agendas, especially in an election year, right?
Yeah, and that's a key part of it. I mean, and I want to echo what you just said, is that I'm just as sensitive too. I mean, I know people out there, a lot of people are scared. A lot of people are unsure about this. I completely understand that. Yep. I mean, I'm somebody who has a compromised immune system from a chronic illness I was diagnosed with about 10, 11 years ago. So, and I know that there's a risk. There's a risk for me every time just with the flu season. You know, if I have a relapse with my chronic illness, I can end up in bed. 3 years ago, I was in bed for 5 weeks. You know, I lost 25 pounds in a week. I mean, I understand how devastating that can be and how it can hit really hard. My wife was in tears several times, you know, wanted to take me to the emergency room. I didn't want to go because I was afraid they'd pump me full of drugs. And I wanted to try to get through it, you know, in a way that I thought we could do in a healthier manner without having to go to drugs and side effects and all that. So anyway, that being said, that's my situation. So I fully understand people who are concerned about it. I agree with you. You want to wear a mask, wear a mask. All right. You want to get it. But we're getting to a point where even good people out there, like I put a post out about the masks, questioning it. Right, saying it doesn't make entire sense. Who, CDC, the Surgeon General, they've all gone back and forth. Dr. Fauci, they've all gone back and forth on whether or not the mask is effective and so forth. Okay, so all that being said, you question it. And then some of the comments that come back, and anybody out there watching probably knows this happens. You know, we don't want to be shaming people. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask.
Right.
But when we choose not to wear a mask, don't call us uncharitable and selfish. Yeah. And that's what you hear a lot.
Right.
You know, and this is a real danger, because I mean, these are indicators that are being demonstrated that are showing that we're losing something in society with regards to just civility towards one another. But the bigger thing that bothers me is when governors and mayors start mandating, and then they start threatening fines, $250 bucks. I've heard $1,000 or jail time even from some places. So this is the stuff, and I agree with you, Father. If the science showed this to be clear and consistent, I'd be on board.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case. And you and I have talked a lot about this, is we understand that there's an illness here that can really cause a lot of havoc in a person's life, and even affect, with comorbidities and so forth, a person's, you know, possible cause. It could be the cause of death or contribute to it. However, it's a 99.95, I think, percent survival rate, which is in some cases greater than the flu. Last year alone, I believe it's CDC pointed out that over 180 or so kids, children, adolescents died with contributing factors due to the flu. This year, as of about a month and a half or 2 months ago when I first saw this report, it was at 130 or 140. I don't think we've had that many with, you know, the Chinese coronavirus, you know, with regards to kids. But we don't shut entire schools down. Now, right. It was reported today, Monday, again, July 13th, that San Diego, I think, has agreed with, if I'm not mistaken, Los Angeles too, but San Diego at least, they're starting their fall season. All public schools are going to be online now. So they're shutting everything down already. So this sort of stuff is continuing, and it's continuing to put a lot of pressure on an election year, as you've mentioned already. So is there a mob behind a lot of this? Is there more happening? I think it's clear that there is something else happening.
You know? Yeah. You know, I just wrote an article. I actually, it's Monday. So it's my day off. And so And I like that we record on my day off too, because I'm not getting in the way of church stuff. But anyways, I did what I love doing on my day off, and that's praying and reading and writing. And so I did a lot of that today, just relaxed and did that. But we've been doing the Let Freedom Ring. And
yes,
anybody jump in if you want to. As I was writing for day 8 of 40 days. So I think it'll be day 9 by the time this podcast comes out. So, you know, you can jump in the following day and you'll have 30 days of the 40 a month worth. But it's awesome. And we're getting a lot of good responses from it. But you know what I wrote about today, Doug? And it will be posted this probably the same time this podcast comes up, is actually it's the earlier that date. But I wrote about freedom from elitism. Okay. Now I got to share this, because I found this in my research and all my reading that I did today, reading up on all this. But there was a 2016 interview that Carl Olson did with Dr. Angelo Codbita. I think I pronounced that right, but my apologies, doctor, if I didn't.
No, just say it really fast and no one knows. Codbita? There you go.
So he authored, he's an author of many books, but one of the ones he authored was called The Ruling Class. Okay. And so my topic was elitism. So it caught my attention. This is awesome, Doug. So I'm just going to read this portion that I pulled from that interview that Carl Olson had with him. So Dr. Angelo Codbita said, here's the quote: "The ruling class are society's ins, ins. This class compromises." This class comprises persons in government, those who depend for their livelihoods on government, and whose socioeconomic prospects and hopes are founded on government. Thus, it includes most people in the educational establishment, the media, and large corporations. Its leading elements and its major voting constituencies are the Democratic Party, but it transcends political parties because any number of Republicans aspire to its privileges and share its priorities. Above all, the ruling class defines itself by a set of attitudes, foremost of which is contempt for those outside itself. This contempt stems from the rather uniform education that the ruling class's members absorb from universities, and which they develop by living in their subculture. Believing themselves intelligent apostles of scientific truth, they regard others as dumb and in the grip of religious obscurantism. Religion is the greatest of the divides between the ruling class and those it deems its inferiors. Whereas they believe themselves morally good and psychologically sound, they regard others as suffering from psychological dysfunctions and phobias, effectively as bad people. The ruling class does not believe that those outside itself have the right or capacity to conduct their own lives." Doug, that hit the nail on the head.
Man, no kidding.
Exactly what's going on right now. There are a small subculture of people that are in control and are looking for even more control in our culture right now. You know, these are the ones that were described, Doug, as the country class, okay? And I don't think that's a bad, but the 2016 Democrat candidate for president called us what? Deplorables.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what elitism is. You look down your nose at others, and as it says, it doesn't have the right or capacity to conduct their own lives. So the government needs to be in control. That's where we are in large part, but we're heading very quickly into, and I'll just say it, communism. That's what an elite ruling class ultimately is. It's a communist structure, where a certain amount of people an elite class have control of everything.
Well, and on that note, I mean, again, the day we're recording this, July 13th, this is the anniversary of the miracle of the vision of hell that Our Lady showed the children in Fatima in 1917. And of all the different things that were mentioned that day to those children, the vision of hell, the need for devotion to her Immaculate Heart, which was introduced, it was completed in mid-1920s, and now we have the five devotion to the five first Saturdays. She also talked about the coming Second World War if man doesn't stop offending her son. And the other thing she mentioned was Russia would spread the error of her ways,
right,
which is obviously communism. I mean, and of all the things that Our Lady could have mentioned, I mean, obviously she doesn't do anything that her son doesn't direct her to do. I mean, this is not just her coming up with this and, you know, right. Jesus is in heaven saying, what are you talking about, Mom? No, no, that's not what's going on here. This is a message from God to the world through Our Lady, keying on the concern and the threat of communism.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, and again, I hear this question all, I get it all the time because I talk about Marian apparitions all over the place and in different conferences and all in parish missions. And people will ask, well, do you think that the Pope ever consecrated Russia to Mary the way she asked? And I like to say, you know what? I don't know, because that's really above my pay grade. It's outside my security clearance, what the Pope does. Did he do it right? Did he wait too long? And there's a lot of speculation. And then you want to analyze that, that's fine. Go ahead. But I know that I haven't done what she asked. Another thing that we were asked to do to help prevent communism, the error of Russia's ways, from spreading throughout the world, and that's pray the rosary
daily. Right.
And so if we were responding faithfully to Our Lady's call, and that's something that I know, obviously, you and I have talked a lot about. You have the combat rosary. You know, it's been a big, big part of both of our ministries, even before we started to work together, Father, was to promote the rosary. And now rosary coast to coast and all of this is so essential to help defeat communism. Right. And here we've got it. And you're right, Father. We got to call it like it is. People say socialism and fascism and Marx. This is a communist effort to try to undermine and destroy America. There are people, there's a guy, I can't get his, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. His first name is Yuri, and he's a defector from Russia, KGB, former KGB, back in the 80s. And there are videos floating around, I know, on the internet about him. And he defected because he really saw what was going on. And thanks be to God, he came to enlighten, realize what happened here. He became woke. He took the red pill. And he realized what the KGB was doing, and he talks very extensively about the psychology behind it, and how it has infiltrated the U.S. And this is back in the 80s. He talked about how successful things were. It's crept into our colleges. It's in our high schools. It's in our entertainment. It's, you know, ties in with moral relativism. It ties in with entitlement. It ties in with we want free stuff. And I know we've talked a little bit about the free stuff problem. I mean, right. Father, the free stuff issue, that's going to destroy us. This I got to have free stuff.
Right, but that's how they lure them in, right? I mean, that's the way it's always been throughout history. You know, hey, you know, follow us and do it this way, and look at all the free stuff you're going to get. Right. You know, that's I was saying too, communism, when you really boil it all down, is synonymous with ruling class. That's what communism is.
Exactly.
It's a small group of people that are in charge of all the rest. It's elitism. It's a ruling class that takes charge. And has it ever worked anywhere? No, it has not. It has not.
Always leads to chaos and destruction.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is coming fast, Doug. I said going into this year, this election year, that I said 2020 is going to be brutal.
You did. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. Because I just knew it was an election year, and I knew what was at stake. But this is really brutal right now.
Well, and on top of that, Father, I would like to add that you were telling people, you and I talked about it in some of our podcasts, that the 100 years, from the Pope Leo experience, the 100 years from Fatima, the critical time that Fatima happened. All of these things, the Bolshevik revolutions are taking place that same year, 1917, explode. And then, communism is ushered into Russia. All of these things were going on. And, you know, we brought this up. You talked about this, that it's not just the election year per se, because people will say, well, yeah, every election year we got an issue. Now, there's something deeply spiritual going on here. And then go back to October 6th and the alleged message that Sister Agnes Sasagawa received from the angel about pray a rosary of repentance and put on ash as if to speak of really doing penance. And then shortly after that, the COVID explosion. And then
I did some research, and I think it's pinpointed that actually on October 6th was when the virus first leaked out of the lab or wherever it came from. Actually, on the day that Our Lady, warned Sister Agnes Sasagawa. That's amazing. You know, I'm not sure that's correct, but it was really close to that date, even if it wasn't the exact date.
I think for anybody out there who might say, well, you know, but it might be, you know, what if it is? Look at the signs of the times. Look at what's happening. I mean, everything that has, and you've been talking a lot about this, about evil being exposed, evil overreaching, evil getting frustrated, if you want to call it that, evil saying, wait a minute, and stomping like a little baby. And now we've got statues being torn down and not just, you know, U.S. Ulysses S. Grant or George Washington. We've got saints now, like, well, you know, Yupiro Serra, you know, being torn down in several places, and statues of Our Lady, as we reported at the beginning of this podcast, you know, statues of Our Lady being burned and attacked, you know, spray painted and so forth. So this kind of stuff is ramping up. And a big concern people should be thinking about this is, you know, Father, people don't just stop at the symbols and images oftentimes when revolution is in play. And you hear people out there, there's a video floating around of a guy from Lithuania, a young guy who talks about his father and grandfather going through when Russia invaded Lithuania. Or you got people coming from Cuba or Venezuela. They're all saying the same thing. America, wake up. Realize what's happening here. You know, you start going after statues, as a woman in Venezuela said. First, they tore down the statues. And then they changed the names of streets and what are we doing here? Military bases and football teams. And remove the image of Aunt Jemima. Take the Indian lady off of the Land of Lakes, which, by the way, if people don't know, the grandchild, I think it's a man, possibly grandson, of the artist who painted the Indian for the Land of Lakes logo, was proud of what he did because this was a way of keeping the culture of his people in public view.
Yeah.
But we're changing the names. We're changing. We're taking, again, Aunt Jemima. We've taken down, Land of Lakes. We're now the Washington Redskins. You know, we've got to go after anything and everything. And this lady in Venezuela said, yeah, then it gets to the curriculum of schools. Well, that's already happening.
Yeah.
You probably heard of the book White Fragility. I think we talked about it last week's podcast, White Fragility. And that's being ordered to be read in companies and businesses all over the U.S. And it's written by a woman, her name escapes me. I'm about to pull it up here. And this is a book that actually says to anyone who's white, you are a racist, whether you think so or not, because you're white. And this is a serious problem, Father. And this is, again, it's getting into the curriculum because now they're saying that schools are going to be forced, students can be forced to read this book. So again, it's a constant and it's nonstop now.
Right.
And the percentage of people who are in favor of what Black Lives Matter, for example, is supporting, even though one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Kohler, has come out and said that she's a trained Marxist. This, we should be devastatedly concerned about this.
Right.
So, but yeah,
you referenced me talking about the 100 years of Satan.
Yes.
And, you know, anybody who's a regular knows what that means, but just real quick. My personal theory, and there's a lot of people in this school of thought, is that the 100 years started in 1917 with the miracle of the sun in Fatima and Our Lady's warning in Fatima, and which was exactly 33 days to the day from when Pope Leo had his vision in 1884. So my theory is, and again, a lot of people are like this, is so the 100 years would go from 1917 to what? 2017, the centennial of Fatima. And so then what is this? Yeah, because things have really gone crazy since 2017. I mean, I always point to the shocking one of now a grown man can share a bathroom with little girls. I mean, all this stuff is just being rifled in. Well, what's going on? Well, here's my theory, is that I believe that we recovered our sense of the supernatural over the period of time. And I'll talk about maybe in the 1990s, we started to recover it, but we got stronger and stronger in our sense of the supernatural and our belief in that. And so that by 2017, we surpassed Satan in his supernatural strength, okay? But now Satan is going wild because he doesn't like that. And that's what I believe is going on in the last 3 years. He's trying to recover or regain his greater strength that he wanted in the vision of Pope Leo XIII in 1884. And so he's throwing the kitchen sink at us. And what's happening is, and here's my naive interpretation. I call it naive because it's super hopeful, is that Satan is going so wild that he is showing himself too much, okay? He's exposing himself. And so we've had a lot of exposés, Harvey Weinstein, Me Too movement, the Catholic Church, government, all the attempts to take the president down that were botched, and just showing, you know, the aggressiveness of people in power, and all this stuff is being revealed, okay? And so we are, in a sense, red pilling on what evil has been up to before, when it was using incrementalism and under the cover of darkness, is now out in the light, and we're seeing it for what it is, okay? So now what do we do? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. What do we do when the devil is going as crazy as he is right now? And that's what the title of our show is tonight, Doug. We need to get strong, right? We need to get strong. I believe we were getting stronger. I'm so eternally grateful to Mother Angelica on the EWTN network, but it was in the 1990s where she became an ally to Pope John Paul II. Yeah. And things got better and better and better and better. But you know, the world is strong. Our worldly wants and desires are strong. We can get weak if we're not careful, but we need to continue to get strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And that's what I think is so important. And one of the things I said, Doug, is that if we're going to talk about unity, if we're going to talk about strength, you know what I said, Doug? I said parishes were always meant to be those epicenters of unity and strength. So parishes simply must work to be the best possible, you're going to like this, spiritual gymnasiums they can be, where those who attend are encouraged, challenged, and instructed in all the ways to become strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In other words, evil is shocking us so much, outrageous is so much, that a lot of people are getting detached from their worldly attachments and saying, I need to become spiritually strong again. And primarily that happens in that parish family, I call it an epicenter or a spiritual gymnasium. That's where we get strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Don't you say?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when you describe this, there has to be the choice. We have to choose to do this. We have to choose to cooperate with this.
Right.
My concern is that we sit around sometimes and we wait for what I've called it as like the angelic injection. You know, we're waiting for something from heaven to come down and just inject in my arm. Boom. Right. Oh, and now I'm ready to do this, rather than, you know, God's grace is there to do that, but he always asks us of our free will to cooperate with that and take the steps necessary to do that.
Yeah, you know, but people will make the decision, I got to get strong. You know, I got to go to the gym. I got to sign up, you know, for a fitness center or whatever. They'll make that. And a lot of people are doing that during this 40 days right now, because that's one of the things we're asking people to do, is to look after their health. I'm back at the gym right now and I'm walking more. I'm down. Hey, by the way, Doug, I'm down 35 pounds.
Wow.
Since May 1st.
Nice. So, good job, Father.
But anyways, but I'm having at it. But why? Because I've got the resolve to want to do this now.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the same in the spiritual life. That's what I'm hoping and praying that so many souls get, that, you know what, I kind of was punching the clock with my faith. I was kind of going through the motions. I, You know, it's kind of like fulfilling an obligation, you know, and that's not working. I need to get strong. And also I got to get together with my battle buddies. I got to get together with my troops. And yeah. We got to be a force to be reckoned with. Okay. Who are what? Who have the resolve to want to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power and to push out the light of Christ. Okay. When you get strong spiritually, what's happening to you? You got that power of the Holy Spirit on you. And now you are you're bearing fruit like crazy. You're loving on people like you wouldn't believe. You're joyful. You're just obnoxiously joyful. You know, you're an easy person to be around. That's peace. You know, you're patient with people. You get a lot of latitude. You can go on and on, but see, you become such a force of grace that people are like, whoa, what's with you? What do you got? I want some of that. Right. So that's what real evangelization is all about. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. We got to get supernaturally strong. That's why I call the parishes, they need to be spiritual gymnasiums.
Yeah. Well, and that's where the term get strong. And that's something we really want to encourage and promote because, you know, we like the t-shirt design we did is just as simple. It's time to get strong or simply get strong. Got a couple different versions out there because we want people to just not forget it. We're built that way. We're built, you know, out of sight, out of mind, insight in mind. And we want to put this in sight. I want to be an example, like you said, that other people, by the grace of God, other people would see and think, yeah, I'm inspired. I'm motivated. What's the alternative? You know, sit on the couch and just kind of, you know, dissolve into nothing? Is it to just allow communism to overrun the country and overrun our churches? Is it just to allow people to just kind of drift away? It's a tough time right now.
Right.
By the way, before I get too far off here, I want to let everybody know the Robin DiAngelo is the author of White Fragility.
Okay.
And this, I just wanted to get that in, a Robin DiAngelo, White Fragility. And you know, with that sort of thing, for example, I want to get strong. I don't want to allow this kind of curriculum to get out there and just start convincing everybody that you're just bad. You're innately bad. You know, you're racist no matter what. That's not true. That is just simply not true. So we got to get strong against these evil attacks on every level. And we have to understand that there is a physical and spiritual component that work together.
Right.
All right. They work together. And it's important for us to understand that the healthier I am, the better I'm eating. I'm cutting out the garbage. I'm eating good stuff. I'm exercising. And I got a good prayer life. And I'm deepening my prayer life. And I'm fasting. And I'm combining all this together. And I'm going to get stronger that way. And that's so essential right now because, you know, we need strength. We need to know that that strength comes from God ultimately. But we also need to know that we have to be the ones that choose to cooperate in discipline. With God's grace to make this happen. And I love the Let Freedom Ring thing, Father. Talk a little bit more about the Let Freedom Ring, which is just a phenomenal thing. I know we're already over a week into it, but anybody can jump on board anytime. These are great readings. I went out and signed up. My wife and I, we're getting them. We're doing them. It's a phenomenal thing. And we've got two of the priests involved who are really helping to put this together.
Yeah. So if you're on social media, you've read the writings of Father Bill Peckman. He's amazing. I've often thrown some of those in a Roman Catholic Man blog post, and Church Pop picks them up all the time. He's just a phenomenal writer. And then the other one is Father James Altman. He's a great writer, but he's mostly known for his preaching. His homilies have gone viral. In fact, he was contacted by Jim Caviezel, the actor. And after one of his homilies, and he invited him out to his house, you know.
Yeah. Which, by the way, yeah, Jim called me and asked me what Father's phone number was. So I hope he didn't mind me giving it to him. Just kidding, everyone. Just kidding. I don't know Jim Caviezel.
Jim and I are close. But anyways, Father James Altman, sorry, Father Jim, he's awesome. And yeah.
I've spoken at his parish, by the way, a couple of times out in La Crosse. So,
yeah, he's amazing.
Great guy. Yeah. Great priest. Wonderful priest.
Yeah, yeah. And him and I have been friends for a long time. Anyways, so the three of us kind of found each other. This all came out because Father Bill Peckman was on retreat, and he saw me talking about, you know, it's time for us to get into spiritual warfare. And I talked about 40 days before the 54-day rosary novena, and all of a sudden at retreat, it's like the Holy Spirit came on him And he says, "What if we did this? What if we did that?" And so him and I started talking back and forth, and that's what we came up with, Let Freedom Ring. It's mostly Father Bill's brainchild, or else I like to say it's the Holy Spirit that came to him while he was on retreat. But the idea is that for 40 days, it's called 40 Days to Freedom from the Devil, okay? And so four of these 40 days, we're praying the devil out of ourselves, out of our families, out of our parishes, our dioceses, and the nation. And so we're asking God to, with his supernatural strength, to exorcise the devil out of here. And we're actually taking, here I'll read you quickly the goal. Through acts of reparation, fasting, penance, charity, and prayer, both personal and sacramental, we call upon the power of God to release ourselves, our families, our parishes, our dioceses, and our nation from all demonic influence and oppression. So what, and then the three of us priests write a reflection. We do it in a rotation. So I actually was enjoying writing mine today on Monday that will go on Tuesday about elitism. But he's a reflection rotating from Father Bill Beckman, Father James Altman, and Father Rick Heilman will be written for each day on a particular manifestation of the demonic and the sin it leads to. It will commend a corresponding virtue to cultivate. Okay, so that's what the reflections are. We have various prayers. There's a different litany every day. So mine tomorrow, Tuesday, will be the litany of Saint Michael the Archangel. Today was the litany of humility. It's just really, really powerful. Really powerful pack. And we ask people to do some fasting and abstinence. We recommend that they do at least an hour every day, or, you know, if you're not physically capable, of maybe a half hour every day of some physical exercise, and that could be going for a walk, you know. But like you said, I started back on the gym and we're really going at this. So please, anybody can jump in on this. Just simply go to usgraceforce.com and you'll see the reflections there. You'll also see a place where you can enlist in the U.S. Grace Force if you haven't already. Doug, we proposed this on July 4th. Mm-hmm. By July 10th, we had gained 8,000 more recruits in the United States Grace Force. Nice. We just went over the 66,000 mark today, actually. Yeah. And more and more people are a part of the United States Grace Force.
And on that point, Father, I want to encourage anybody, you know, thanks be to God, we get a fair number of views on this program. I want to encourage you, please, if you're not part of this U.S. Grace Force, go out and sign up for it. You're not going to get hammered with a bunch of, you know, emails and all. I mean, when Father has, you know, prayer campaigns and so forth, he'll just send you an email.
Yeah. Email in the morning.
If you don't like it, you delete it. But the point is, we've got to get the word out to more people. Please, if you haven't, then please go sign up. If you have, try to recruit one or two people to do that. Let's try to hit 70,000, four more thousand at least by next week, by next episode of Grace Force. Let's goals are good. They're benchmarks, you know. All my years of weightlifting, you know, you set goals, it helps, you know.
I have to tell you too that I'm told the military is very much loving this, and they love the military themes and everything. And I got a lot of encouragement from Lieutenant Donegan from the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the Pentagon. There it is.
Like the hat.
Pentagon hat on.
Nice.
I said, I'm never taking this baby off, you know? So isn't that cool? That's like the best thing I ever owned. It's awesome. But anyways, the military is really liking this and they're joining ranks with us too. You know, it's muscular, you know, what we're doing, and we're really in battle and we're taking on Satan. And, you know, that's a very important, military operation that we need to be about in our lives. And so many more military are finding out about this and wanting to be a part of it too. And so I'm hearing a lot of, military are praying the rosary every day for the first time in their life.
Yeah. And, that's awesome.
Going to mass more often and all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
But so There you have it. Yeah. I'm going to wear this for the rest of the show, Doug.
All right, cool.
And we've got to keep growing those ranks again with the rosary and the fasting and just encouraging people to step up and engage. It's very easy. We both know this, Father, because people who are consuming enough to pay attention, you know, media wise, what's going on. And I know there are people out there who will say, just shut it off. It doesn't help to watch it all the time. I'm not of the same mindset. I know you are.
No, reconnaissance,
either.
Baby. You got to know what the devil's up to.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to what's going on. You got to get out there and pay attention. You don't want it to consume you.
No.
You don't want to do it 24/7, of course, but you can't fight back against things if you're not sure where they're going. Like, for example,
toughen up, snowflake.
Yeah, that's it. Toughen up, snowflake.
I'm saying stuff like that because I got this hat on now.
And you're wearing the I Kneel for God Alone t-shirt, too. And But also, you know, we talked earlier about that book, White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. And, you know, there's an article I just found a little bit ago when I was looking up her name that says that the Millard Public Schools in Omaha, outside of Omaha, Nebraska, there, suburb of Omaha, Millard, which I'm from Nebraska, lived in Texas now, but Millard Public Schools, up to 70 administrators, principals, administrators of the public school system are going to read this book. They're going to bring this in, which means if your children are in any of the Millard Public Schools, okay, they're going to be affected, impacted in some way directly and indirectly by this. So if we don't know, if we don't pay attention to these things, if we don't know what we have to deal with. So now you might want to go talk to your administrator, your principal, whoever, and say, hey, what are you doing? What's going on with this? This isn't something I want my kids to be impacted by. Are you going to be bringing this into the classroom and so forth? So we do need to pay attention. We can't just hide from this and put our head in the sand. It's important that we at least be aware of what the enemy's doing out there. You know, and on top of that, Father, I think, before we get to the end of the show, I know, we're getting closer here, but I want to get this one key point. Oh, he's got the sunglasses on now.
Toughen up, snowflake.
Drill Sergeant Father Richard Heilman.
Drop it, give me 20.
One-handed.
Drop it, give me 20 Hail Marys.
20 Hail Marys, there you go. But on that note, I think we also need to be talking about, you know, the protection that's essential as well here. You know, we've got churches that are being hit hard now. We've got, we clearly know that some statues are being defaced and vandalized. Horrible, horrible to see images of our Blessed Mother or images of our Lord, statues, pictures, any of that. Anytime any of that sort of thing happens where they're getting spray painted or vandalized.
Yeah, you said you're working on a group to protect those out in your area. I got one going on here too.
Yeah, well, I mean, tell the audience what you're doing.
So I talked with a guy, he's just an amazing guy about this, and he's gone at it. A lot of people that I know that are really strong, by strong, I mean spiritually strong, but they're strong physically too. But anyways, these are guys that are really all in about their faith and that. And so he's recruiting them, and he's getting a team together where they will stand guard, basically. They'll pray together, maybe the rosary together or whatever, but they'll stand guard of particularly churches and statues that are near and around those areas where the protests are happening. And, you know, not under my watch, these guys are saying, you know, we need to stand up and be the men we're called to be. And so that's what they're doing. And so far in our area, we haven't seen a lot of bad vandalism, but don't want to see it, you know. So
right. Well, and you know, Father, and that's kind of what we've been doing down here in Tyler. I've been working with a group of guys, and we've been doing it for several months because Bishop Strickland, great bishop, and he's the bishop.
He's here amazing. In Tyler.
And he and I have talked about this, and he's very much in favor of having men ready to go who can protect and defend. And so he's kind of let me, you know, work with the guys here, and we put together a group and we're still working on it. We have weekly workouts, you know, we had to stop for a while there during COVID, and now we're doing outdoor workouts. We're keeping, you know, safe, letting everybody do what they feel they need to do for social distancing and all, but we're outside now working out once a week. And you know, we're in a sand pit now. Just last week we were working out in a sand pit, carrying stones, throwing them, dropping, doing pushups. Awesome. Then we do some basic self-defense, and we set up some drills where, if you've got somebody or a church or something that's under attack, or there's a threat there, how fast can you form up a line? And basically form up a line means you get guys in position. They're close enough. They know how to stand. They know a diffusing posture. Okay. They're not out there ready to go with a fight. They could if they need to, but they're in a diffused posture and they're trying to calm things down, but they're ready to react if they need to. We're not going to start things.
but we definitely want to be in a position where if something does get started, we can deal with it legitimately and appropriately to try to minimize as much as possible any chaos or damage or harm. Now, the point is, and I've had a lot of people ask questions, send me emails or messages on Facebook, what do we need to do to get started? So a general outline, you got to get a guy or two together who are going to sit down, you got to get some guys together who are going to sit down, have the conversation and say, look, what are our resources? What are our assets? Do we have law enforcement in the parish, any military in the parish, retired or active? And can we ask them to help us understand basic self-defense posture, basic mannerisms, basic diffusing language, how to speak with a certain authority while not trying to provoke any sort of escalation of a problem? Okay. And then you start getting guys together. You start recruiting others to come together. You got to be in some kind of shape that helps, be in some kind of physical shape where you can move fast and step into something if you have to. And then you got to start regularly meeting. And like we do once a week, and we're growing guys left and right. I'm getting comments from people here and there. They're wanting to, more guys are wanting to be part of this. We've got just recently retired law enforcement, police officers going to be part of this. And so we're growing the ranks best we can. We want people who are serious about it, who are going to train a little bit for it, and then be ready and then have a way to communicate with each other. So if something goes down and you hear that a church is under attack, or you hear that there's going to be a threat against a statue or a person, a priest, a bishop, a parishioner, someone, you're going to have guys where if you put a message out or make a phone call, you can move fast enough with your communication. So you got to have good communication. You can get 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 guys there in an instant or as fast as possible, who can be there ready to go. Again, not ready to cause, you know, violence or damage, but ready to respond if need be. Now, that being said, I would say this, Father, it's also important for men to be ready to respond to violence in a legitimate self-defense way. And I reference the Catechism, paragraph 22, 63, 64, and 65 about legitimate self-defense. Again, 22, 63, 64, and 65. Check out those paragraphs and know that we have a, not just a right, but a grave duty to defend our loved ones, ourselves, our churches, when it comes to these things. For those out there who are thinking, Doug, it's not that big a no, look at what's happening. You don't want to get to that point, okay? And get this, Father, we've said this in past episodes, not a lot, but we've said it. The better trained you are, far less likely are you to have a problem. Right. Because you know what to do to minimize it.
Peace through strength.
Peace through strength
invites aggression.
Exactly.
Right.
And if we get strong, yeah, and we get strong